Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
DA Shadow Health MEC in Gauteng, Jack Bloom joins us this morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Great to be with you. Let's just, there are a number of issues that I'd love to address with you this morning. But the first one is, what is the position with medical care for illegal immigrants or illegal undocumented immigrants here in South Africa?
Well, according to the Constitution, you're not allowed to deny emergency care.
Right.
So that is provided, but when it comes to, you know, full-scale operations and things like that, they obviously can give priority to people who are local and already on the list. Although there have been constitutional court cases on this, where in one instance, a young Somali girl was done a very expensive heart operation. They went to court to enforce it. So, in fact, you know, anybody in South Africa, whether they're foreign or local, does have rights. But what the Gauteng Health Department, for instance, is doing is actually billing them quite rigorously and being quite harsh about it sometimes. I've heard cases where, foreigners have babies in a South African hospital and they won't give them their papers unless they pay up the full bill. So they're presenting bills, whether they're paid or not, is a different story. But constitutionally, they are obliged to provide care.
Which is right, obviously. I mean, I think that if we become so cold that we turn our backs on people just because they don't have the right papers when they need medical care, I think that says a terrible amount about us. The fact that the system is broken is another issue completely, but doesn't it all start on the humanitarian side?
Well, yes, it does. But there are specific problems. You know, the recent controversy was in a video of a pregnant woman on the floor of the Rahima Musa Mother and Child Hospital. Well, frankly, that hospital has been overcrowded for a long time, and it's worsened by the closure of the Scharfenberg Johannesburg Hospital. But in fact, we do have a case where, a woman comes specifically to give birth in a South African hospital. And this is very problematic because they can become complicated cases because they haven't presented before, with antenatal treatment beforehand. But I think there's a simple solution to that is to build the foreign embassies. That's what they actually should be doing. And the South African Development Community, the SADC countries, they should be billed directly. There's no reason why they shouldn't be doing that. So that is a way forward.
The crisis that is taking place, and in fact we've got somebody talking to us a little bit later, he didn't want his name known, but he contacted me late last week and said he and a lot of other doctors as well as support staff had overnight suddenly lost their positions. All of a sudden they're unemployed. What is going on within the system at the moment?
What's really happened is that there were a lot of extra positions created for specifically for COVID. So it came from a specific COVID allocation, and those positions came to an end at the end of this month. Now, famously, there was a demonstration at the Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital because 800 were going to be let go, and because of the protest, they stayed. So I think that is actually very good news. But unfortunately, it was only for Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital. The other hospitals, a lot of these extra COVID patients, extra COVID patient staff were let go. But the real scandal is that we have so many empty positions. We have hundreds of vacancies for doctors, thousands of vacancies for nurses. I'm talking about Gauteng, and obviously it's the same for the rest of the country. And when the COVID money ran out, a lot of those COVID positions, we've lost them. They cut it by half. That's actually what happened. They cut the budget by half. But look, we've got systemic problems in our health system. It's corruption, it's wastage, it's mismanagement. And, if I can give you an idea of the Gauteng health budget, 60 billion rand, which is the same size as the budget for the city of Cape Town. I just think they're spending it very badly. And the fact that COVID or no COVID, we have unfilled posts is an absolute scandal.
So we have unfilled posts, and we have people who are out of work.
Oh, absolutely. And we still hire Cuban doctors.
And then we're hiring Cuban doctors.
Yes, that's actually the outrage. No, I get people write to me all the time, you know, highly qualified local doctors, and they say they can't get a public service post. I think there's something really, really wrong that, you know, we just misallocate our resources. Look, the other point is that the staff establishments for hospitals were established 20 years ago in most cases, and in fact the need has actually grown. So even if they filled all the empty posts, it probably wouldn't be enough to provide a decent service. We must understand that Gauteng's population in particular has sort of doubled actually over the last 20 years, and the needs have increased. And of course, there are a lot of foreigners in Gauteng, and we need to do what we can to provide a decent health service. So I think the challenges are immense, but the cold hard reality is that staff at our hospitals are under huge strain. I think they're doing their best under circumstances in many instances, but unfortunately, lives are lost. I have to tell you that because of COVID, which has just worsened everything, the waiting lists for operations have absolutely ballooned. I mean, my estimate is that there's probably 20,000 people on waiting lists for various operations. It could be 3 to 5 years to get hip op. And the biggest backlog is actually cataracts. You know, now cataracts are a simple operation. I mean, but, you know, you've got thousands of people who can't see and are waiting for their cataract operations. And these, one has to admit that COVID was a huge blow to elective surgery. But can you imagine waiting 3 to 5 years for a hip operation, or you lost your sight and you can't get a cataract operation?
And of course, the other problem is that young doctors who want to specialize are not getting posts either. And young doctors who want to become surgeons can't get places, which means they either land up not specializing or they go overseas to do it. So we're putting an enormous amount into training our young doctors, our young people, who are ultimately left with no choice but to go and live overseas to specialize, because we're not offering them the follow-up opportunities to do so when we have such a great shortage and need for people in our own environment. It's just an absurdity.
No, it absolutely is, because we train doctors, and they would stay in the system, but not if they can't get training. And again, to come back to Sharp and Kameke Johannesburg Hospital, that's a training hospital. You know, the dental students can't train there at all. It's, in fact, they're transferring it to Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital. I don't think people really realize what a catastrophe it is that our major academic training hospital has been partially out of operation for nearly a year now. And as we've seen, the provincial government has just admitted they can't fix it, so they've just given it to the National Health Department. It's just a massive scandal. I mean, they claim that the hospital will be fully repaired, in the next 2 years, but we've heard those sort of claims before.
Well, now it's 2 years. It was originally just a couple of months. Now we're talking, we're talking about, it's basically Medupi all over again.
Yeah, and we haven't even got to cancer patients and heart patients and all the specialties. That's actually the real tragedy. You know, they talk about waiting lists, but there's actually a waiting list to get onto the waiting list, because you don't get onto the waiting list until you've seen a specialist. So until you see a specialist and you're diagnosed, you actually don't exist. So, I mean, that's the real tragedy of the system. And unfortunately, you know, it dwarfs the life of Sedimeni tragedy. 144 mental health patients died in that tragedy. But I'm afraid to say that this tragedy is even larger. And mental health patients are still badly treated. You know, you would have thought that would have improved dramatically after life of Sedimeni. But I can tell you now, at Helen Joseph Hospital, they are sort of massively overloaded with mental health patients, and they're not able to secure it. There's been attacks on staff, attacks on property, and, just a very sad story all round.
Yes, and then can you imagine NHI ever functioning?
Oh, yes, and they're still talking NHI. It's just unbelievable that anybody in this situation would think that more public health is going to solve the problem. You know, I think they need to look at fixing up the existing public health system and opening up lower cost options for medical aid, because that's an area that they've never encouraged, because they actually want to do away with medical aids entirely. But There are commercial products that would certainly assist in that area, but government is discouraging them, and I think that's a big tragedy as well. I think the more people who are on private health, the less strain there'll be on public health facilities, but they've never realised that, that logic escapes them.
Absolutely bizarre. Jack Bloom, DA Shadow Health MEC in Gauteng. It's 8:31.